Mercy Reed was famed for her instructing. She ate the luminous material with a spatula to show the girls that it was harmless, licking it right in front of them. Charlotte Nevins remembered, "When I was working in the plant painting dials, they always told me the radium would never hurt me. They even encouraged us to paint rings on our fingers and paint our dress buttons and buckles." And the girls did exactly as instructed. They were a happy, jolly lot, and they frequently practiced their painting, especially in the fields of fashion and art. Lots of them took paint home. One woman even painted her walls with it for interior decoration with a difference. Radium Dials seems not to have been as concerned as USRC had been about wasting material. Former employees report that the radium was handled carelessly and, in contrast to the brushing down in Orange, washing was a voluntary procedure and not many of the workers made use of the washing facilities. Why would they, when they could go home glowing like angels? The girls were the envy of others in the little Illinois town when they stepped out with their boyfriends at night, their dresses and hats and sometimes even their hands and faces aglow with the phosphorescence of the luminous paint, a newspaper reported. A young local girl recalled, "I used to wish I could work there. It was the elite job for the poor working girls." When the dial painters visited the drugstore for homemade candies or carbonated ice cream, they left a trail of glowing dust behind them. Catherine remembered, "When I went home and washed my hands in a dark bathroom, they would appear luminous and ghostly. My clothes hanging in a dark closet gave off a phosphorescent glare. When I walked along the street, I was aglow from the radium powder." The women were humorously termed the ghost girls. They worked 6 days a week, using a similar greenish-white paint to that used in Orange with identical ingredients, and the girls were expected to work, work, work. They did get a lunch break, but Mrs. Reed ate her food at her painting desk, and although a number of the girls popped home or went to nearby coffee shops, the majority chose to stay in the studio, following their instructress's example. Catherine recalled, "Oh, we used to eat our lunches right beside the workbenches near the luminous paint and brushes which we used. We hurried as fast as we could. After all, we made more money that way." The girls declared, "We were extremely happy in our work, and Radium Dial was equally content." It followed the attitude of its main client, Westclocks. Their manual for employees read, "We expect you to work hard, and the pay is accordingly large. If you do not expect to work hard and carefully, you are in the wrong place." But for Catherine and Charlotte and Mary, this place felt very, very right indeed. Chapter 7. Newark, New Jersey, November 1922. "Miss Irene Rudolph?" Irene got tentatively to her feet as she heard her name being called by Dr. Barry and shuffled into his office. Her trouble had first started in her feet, though they were currently the least of her worries. She could just about get by if she took things slow. Her family, including her cousin Catherine Sharp, helped out a lot. It was now her mouth that was the real problem. She had been attending this dental practice since August, though she'd been having tooth trouble since the spring of 1922.